Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into Jack Ramsey's Danny Meringue, Brandon Sprague. It is a special edition. It's off season, so it's August. It's content. But wait, no. We actually have Jabari Walker, a recent Portland Trailblazers draft pick, rookie pick. And of course, the dogs are going to bark right as I get going. That's how this is going to go. But Jabari, man, thank you. We appreciate you. Fresh off Summer League, back in town. We're here August. Let's see the date. August 30th now. When we last talked, you had talked about getting into town at the beginning of September, and you are back in town and ready to go. How you doing, man?
Yeah. I've been here for a minute. I'm enjoying it so far. But yeah, just like we talked about, just kind of getting out here early so I could test the waters a little bit, work on my game, and just get familiar with everybody.
You tested the early waters. You just finished closing on a house, making the move permanent to Portland. How is that transition in life being? Because it's one thing to get drafted. It's another thing to go summer league. This is like a box that you tick in that now it becomes a little bit more real each step that you take.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I just went by to look at it for the first time today. And, well, my mom was kind of involved in the whole process, and I just let her take care of it. So when I seen it, I was like, wow, like, it's actually kicking in. I have a place now. So it still didn't feel real. I'm like, no, this has to be my mom's. Like, it can't be under my name. But when it just finally processed, I'm like, wow, it's a dream goal. So, yeah, it's just like a big step in life. Like, besides the basketball part of it, it's just an amazing to accomplish something like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's no better feeling in the world. So congrats to you, Jabari, man. It's a big step for you. I am curious, though, to kind of incorporate the basketball side of this. You know, you come in, a lot of people aren't sure what to expect. You have a big summer. And look, not that you're someone that's lacking in confidence, but I'm curious what having a good summer league maybe helped you with or did for you just confidence-wise coming into your rookie campaign.
Yeah, right. It just kind of showed me that I wasn't crazy with thinking that I was a little slept on in certain areas. I was just kind of confused on why I got overlooked so much. And, you know, there was no answers yet. So just being able to go out there and compete early against guys that are picked before me and just to showcase some of the things that I could provide. It was kind of like a relief. Like, yeah, I'm not to be overlooked. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I'm up there with the best of them in this draft class. I just woke up a lot of people, I feel like, and that was great.
I mean, you can say it with your chest. I mean, you've ticked boxes. That's kind of what you've done along this process is you have figured out, I know my worth, I know my value, but walk me through the process for you. And just like you said, like, you feel like you were slept on because talking to draft folks coming into the draft, I had heard that you were going to be right around 35 to 40, right back into the first round. Draft night happens, and you're the second to last pick. How does that, in your head, how does that go for you?
Yeah. I know you heard that, but with some teams, I was even talking in the later first round area, and there was a lot of talk, like, after workouts, like, yeah, we're really interested, and talking with the agent. So I didn't know what range. When some of the first round names were called, I kind of saw myself in that area just from the interest that I got. So my range was very far. I realized it could be from anywhere starting to like the 20s to all the way to the 40s. But when it got past the 40s, it kind of got a little nerve-wracking. I was like, okay, well, I didn't expect this. And then I just didn't know what the deal was when my name just kept getting passed up. And I just saw certain names where I was like, wow, this is crazy. Like, I didn't expect that person to go over me. And I just kind of let it go. And I was like, man, at this point, it doesn't even matter if I get drafted or not. I'm just putting my head down and show everybody that, like, I feel overlooked. So, yeah.
I got to ask you on this point. So, former Trailblazer, CJ McCollum, was passed on by the Sacramento Kings after they told him they were going to take him. He's talked about this. And one of the things that he always said is that he had something special for Sacramento every time. Are you one of those guys that's like written down every name kind of taken in front of you or every team that passed on you? Like, this is going on, like, you're moving into your new place and this is going on the wall. This is the kind of thing, like, this is the motivation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I definitely do have a couple of those, but it's like I went so late in the draft. It's pretty much everybody that got drafted, you know, whenever I match up against them. It's not a hard list to make. Like, oh, this guy got drafted in front of me. Man, everybody got drafted in front of me.
You got one guy behind you, so it's right. Easier to remember that one name.
Exactly. So at this point, it's not even a list. It's just a mentality type of thing. So every night I just want to showcase, and I just want to make it a piece of me, like my personality and showing up every game. So
it's on site, yeah, the whole draft class.
Right, exactly. That's just how it is.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, too. Like, you had such a good summer league. And for people like us, we're watching you, and we see this kind of complete game, and you're playing consistently, and we're excited. And I'm curious for yourself, or maybe even with the coaches, too, what was something from summer league that you kind of took away despite good play where you said, I can get better here? Like, was there one specific area or a couple things that you really hammered home from the experience that you've tried to bring to the game this offseason to get ready for?
Yeah, just like some of the reads and like not being so robotical sometimes. Like, there's still room for me to learn how to cut and get certain players open. Like, and nothing I really did was just super ball dominant. It's all things I feel like I can apply to, you know, playing with all the vets. So I'm happy about that. But I think I just want to add more to it. Like, now I'm even practicing a little bit with Dame. It's just like, how do you get this man open? He's so efficient, and he shoots at such a high rate. And Anthony Simmons, those are guys you have to get open. So just learning how to create distractions and confusion and, you know, knock down the shots when I'm open, just stuff like that. I'm still getting the hang of it.
Is there a player for you, Jabari, comp-wise or something? Have you, and I'm sure your dad maybe could help with this too. Is there a player comp-wise that if you could say this could be my role in terms of what somebody has brought to a team in the past that you kind of look at and say, hey, this guy fit in really well when he was in this situation? Is there a comp that you're kind of looking at in terms of what you're aiming to do for the team this year?
Yeah, well, this year I didn't really think about it as in like a system or like a this year type of thing when I usually got asked that question. So I would say something like Tobias Harris, just like a guy that was super efficient, you know, attack the basket, very skilled. But I also know that he worked on his game, and where he's at now is a little different than where he started off. So I don't really have a complete name in mind. The more I'm learning my role, I'm still looking at guys like that. But just as far as skill set, maybe a guy like Tobias Harris, and then just provide whatever's needed from me.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
One of the things that I don't think people realize, because, again, you were 57th in the draft, Colorado's not, well, let's be honest, the Pac-12 outside of Arizona wasn't getting a lot of love this year, but you were one of the leading scorers in the conference. You're a leading rebounder in the conference. It wasn't like you were a guy that was like, well, this is kind of a project guy. This is a young guy that we're looking at. Or, like, you stepped into a role at Colorado that allowed you to be more on ball. But you also, you've been very public about this in the lead up to Summer League, the role that your father played and how understanding your role. Yet it was funny because I remember day one before practice, before you guys went down to Summer League, you were the most wide-eyed guy in the room. Mm-hmm. What has that process been like for you from day one at practice that changed, like, oh crap, I'm in the NBA, to that first half against Detroit? Because that was the only time in Summer League where I saw where you weren't the most confident guy on the floor. What was that process like for you to work through those first 20 minutes into what we saw the rest of Summer League?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a bunch of film, a bunch of talks. Like, it's just crazy. But then when it kind of kicked in, when I first got in, you know, I got like a putback, or I did something pretty small, and I'm like, oh, this is the same game, you know. I can get open the same ways. It's actually easier in some areas just because they're focused on certain guys, that I could just slip here, that, you know, there's more spacing. So I don't know. I think I just kind of picked up on it kind of quick, and I got out my own head. And once I seen the ball go through the net a little bit and I started making some plays defensively, I just ran with the energy and just kept going.
I'm curious, you know, Danny alluded to a little bit there. I do want to kind of visit that draft process, because you're right. I mean, you were such a good player in college, and I'm curious why you think maybe teams passed you up. There seems to be something with the Pac-12 where it seems like the conference maybe doesn't get that respect. And why do people continue to sleep on Tad Boyle? I mean, that's a dude that never gets talked about in college basketball. He's done nothing but win and be successful at Colorado, and you're one of many players now going on to the NBA from his program. And I'm curious why people don't give him a little more respect with player development and helping guys take that lead.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, that's a great point. And I know the last couple guys that he had produced did stay 4 years, and it's more seen as like a long run type of process. Like, takes guys that are not highly recruited as much sometimes and has turned them into pros just because of the system. And I don't know if because I left in 2 years, if, you know, the needing to stay 4 years kind of mentality was seen as that, or I don't know what it was. I still haven't had answers to this day, but I will say that a couple of teams that did pass up on me, I won't name names, but I will say I've had feedback where it's like, man, we didn't know you can do that. Or somebody even apologized to me and said, like, we're sorry. Like, and I'm just like, it's already starting, and this is just the beginning of it in Summer League. So later on in my career, I want more of that, where it's like, man, we passed up on you.
Oh, so, man. How much would I have to pay you, Jabari? I want to know how much. I want to know, Danny, how much I got to pay this man to hear him tell the us list. The team that apologized to him and said, hey, we're sorry, we screwed that up.
Yeah, later on, we'll have that conversation. Just like CJ.
We'll hold you to that for sure. But I want to talk about some teams that did pass up on you. Because, so, I'm going to frame this in the sense of, when I was down in Vegas, the talking to, whether it was to media, whether it was to veteran players who were down there watching, or other league execs, the thing that they all said about you was that you were ready and you were smarter than everybody else. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're the smartest guy on the floor, but you're smarter in your role. And they kept saying it over and over. And the thing that was stood out to me when I watched you was, and I mean this wholeheartedly, I have never seen a player adapt to an off-ball role in Summer League better than you did this year. In the 10 years that I've been covering the league and gone down there, the way you did it, and this is I've got some numbers here that were kind of mind-blowing. These are the guys that were taken above you. Paolo Banchero, Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith, Keegan Murray. Those are the power forwards, the fours, the big-bodied apex wings that were the marquee guys of this class.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen this, but where you stand up, or and I'll drop this in the notes for everybody else to see this, you are first, second, or third, and you're first in almost every category when it comes to your true shooting percentage, every stat per 36, your rebound rate was the best at Summer League, your net rating was the best, your PER and your win shares. All of this goes with one of the lowest usage rates at Summer League for guys who were played real minutes.
Wow.
When you go through that, for example, Paolo, just as a head-to-head, your usage rate was under 18%, which is that's a solid, a plus role player rate, and probably Tobias Harris before he got to Philadelphia. That's the little eased back a little bit more.
Yeah.
But Banchero was at almost at 33%, almost double your usage, and yet your scoring ability, your rebounding ability, your defensive ability, your net rating measured up or surpassed or beat him and every other guy on this list.
Yeah, no, that's huge. And that's the game right there, you know? How can I be just as impactful, if not more impactful, without needing the ball in my hands? Like, you know, that's what I try to focus on. And that's crazy that there's numbers that go up there and show that. That's huge.
How do you – I want to get this one real quick. I all the time you hear about players in the NBA, and I know you can't speak to being in the NBA yet because you haven't been there, but the transition you're showing is not common to do this. Like, you can go through the numbers. Eh, it's summer league numbers, I know. But it's still not common. But explain to me, anybody listening, basketball fans out there, when guys say, oh, I wish Damian Lillard ran off the ball more. But that's not a part of his game. That's not what he does. That's not what got him to the NBA. How do you, as a guy who, forgive me for saying this, but you're an alpha-level personality. You don't make it to the NBA not believing yourself. You have a healthy amount of belief and ego.
Yeah.
How do you get to that point where you go, I'm going to be a hell of a role player?
Yeah.
How do you get to that mentally?
No, that's a great question, actually. And the thing is, it was just kind of instilled in me because I had to learn that at such a young age. Like, I was, I don't know how old I was, but I think it clicked my junior year when I went over to Compass Prep. And I was like, man, okay, I know I'm better than some of these guys, you know, but there are just certain guys that were destined to have the ball in their hands. And was I frustrated at the time? It was high school. I was trying to get offers. I was frustrated. I thought I wanted to be seen more, wanted to get more shots up. But just, you know, there were so many D1 players still to this day that are playing college right now that were on that team. And I had no offers. I wasn't ranked at the time, I don't think. So I just kind of went under the radar. And even then, came off the bench, had to do the little things then. So that kind of transitioned into college and then to the next level. So just to answer your question, I kind of had to get used to that early. Whereas guys, you're going to see guys starting to have to play like how I'm playing in the NBA, and it's going to shock them. Like, man, I'm used to having the ball in my hands. Well, it's like I'm kind of ahead in that area because I've never had a position to where I just had the ball in my hands and I had to make plays. Don't get me wrong. I can do that. I trained for that. And I've showcased bits and pieces of that. So my thing is, you know, start off with the little things, earn trust, and later on in your career, maybe you get promoted to a bigger role in certain aspects.
Yeah, Jabari, how do you define a successful rookie season for yourself?
Yeah, just impact right away, compliment our stars. Just keep those numbers, they speak very highly of who I am as a player. Just continue to try to do those things, rebound, and just add to a winning team. Yeah, just whatever it takes to help my team win, that's what I want to do. And if the numbers or it shows up that way for me, then that would be successful.
I got to derail here a little bit. A little bit of sleuthing. You're a 2K guy, right?
Yeah, huge 2K guy.
Now, when 2K23 drops here, is Jabari Walker is he going to be in the starting lineup for the Trailblazers? On Jabari Walker's system?
On my system?
Yeah. Are those rotations getting worked around a little bit?
that is a funny question you asked. Yeah, when I'm playing against my friends, I might have to do that.
Hey, listen, man, I'll tell you this.
I thought about that, but yeah, I'm gonna have
to. You got to start yourself, listen, man.
I mean, Nas was very clear about this. Nas is like, oh yeah, no, that young bull's gonna ride. That's what Nas told me his rookie year.
And
he also said, and I'll back him up on this. Young Nas, even though he had, I think he had a 70 rating his rookie year, 70 or 71, he was actually kind of nice. Like, they gave him the nice jump shot and they made him athletic as hell. So
they gave him a 70? Sorry, I'm moving around. Yeah, no. I got to grab my charger.
No, I got you. I think he got a 70 his rookie year. It was just 70 or 71. I'll have to go back and double check.
But we know his rating yet, Danny?
The ratings are released. That's what I was going to ask him.
All right.
What is Jabari Walker's rating before he's going to call? How high does it have to be before you get Ronnie on the phone and start yelling about ratings?
Man, and you said they're not released yet?
They're not released yet. Honestly, we should see them in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, right. All right. I have some questions already. Like, does Summer League take it into consideration?
Yeah. They take into all that consideration.
They do weigh it. They update it.
They do? So
they give you a little bit of love. Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Then let's see. What pick was Nas?
Nas was
21st.
21.
Yeah.
Right.
21.
He's 21. And he was a 70?
Yep.
Man.
There's no way you're a 50. I mean, come on. They can't start you down low.
I guess it's 65, you know.
Okay.
I guess I want to crack 70. I really do, but if
they gave Nas a lot of athleticism, like his athleticism,
he was supposed to be a lottery pick. Yeah, we thought he was going lottery.
He was way up there. Now they did take away. Okay, here's the question though: would you rather have your shooting be up or your finishing be up?
In 2K, yeah, I'm gonna choose my shooting.
Gotta get those feet in the corner, right?
Yeah, no, I do. Yeah, I'm definitely using Dame. I don't need to be around the rim like that. Yeah, not in 2K. I'm gonna be open in the corner. Use Dame, get around everybody, and kick it to me.
Well, prior to you being picked, I guess it could be a two-parter because I'd assume at this point you're obviously gonna use your own team. But like prior to that, who was your team growing up, or who was a team you would go to in a video game sense, like? Was it just your dad, whoever your dad's team, your dad was playing for, that was your favorite team? Or did you actually have a favorite team growing up watching the league?
I was a huge LeBron fan. So pretty much like with my friends, we did like three randoms. So we would go through, we would randomize the picks. And then from the three teams we got, we had to choose one. So if LeBron was on one of those random teams that I got, I was choosing that team. But in the last few years, my use has been Milwaukee because my teammates hate when I get that because I don't play fair. I know
you're spamming those rim runs.
A glitch in the game, so I'm gonna for sure. I'm using that, and they get so mad. You know, we yell at each other, blah blah. I'm talking trash. You can't guard me. It's not literally me, but it's like I'm gonna exploit the game.
So we're not playing sim rules. Okay, I gotta keep that in mind.
Yeah.
So when somebody asks, if somebody who hasn't seen you play during summer league, they look at you and they go, What is your not your outlook for this season, this year? Because as a young guy on a team with a lot of veterans and even being not, I don't say necessarily thin, but the depth isn't as heavy at the forward position as at the guard position. When you see yourself 2 years, 4 years into your second contract, when you're building your vision wall or whatever it is that you use to kind of track stuff, What is it out there that you see as the first stepping stones to accomplishing that over the next 2, 4, 5 years?
Yeah. I think just learning from the vets. Like, I'm excited for Jeremy Grant to come in and just watch how he works and just to pick up anything I can from him. And I think I just want to continue to go in and learn, watch film, and set myself up for just to get a bigger role and to, you know, have a great career. But yeah, definitely just want to learn from my vets right now, honestly.
Yeah. I know, Jabari, this is always a tough thing for a lot of players, and a lot of players will talk about this, the transition from college basketball player to NBA player. One of the most underrated but kind of big things is, like, diet. I'm curious as a young player, because young players will tell you all the time, like, some will say, yeah, I couldn't give up that candy right away, or, yeah, I'm still eating some fast food. Like Nas was talking about that not
Chipotle,
long ago.
Yep.
Yeah, Chipotle. Like, I'm curious, as Jabari Walker transitioned to a different diet? Do you even think about something like that? Do you kind of like where your playing weight is? How do you evaluate health sides of the game?
Yeah, that's what separates a pro versus like a college player or a high school player. Little things like that. And it's been easier to adjust to things on the court than to even change my diet. And I'm going to be honest. My dad told me that's how it would be. And I'm still learning to do that. It's became more serious because there's professionals that are on top of you about that at this level. So, I'm in communication with the chef there, and just there's more things that allow you to change your diet now. And that's the biggest focus, actually, off the court right now, is my diet. But in a lot of ways, that is one of the hardest things to transition into becoming a pro.
Well, what is? Let me follow that up then. Okay, so I love that you're already kind of talking to a chef, but if Jabari Walker is hungry and Jabari Walker's walking down the street, what is the place that Jabari sees that he goes, oh my God, walk away, walk away, walk away? What's the go-to spot if you had to?
It's really simple with me. It's honestly Panda Express. Like,
Panda Express? Funny.
Yeah, no.
Orange chicken and noodles, right? Like, that's all we're getting.
Right, right. And I used to, it was funny, is I thought it was healthy. So I talked to our strength coach, and I'm like, yeah, I'm
going to
need
healthy today.
Todd had to
look at you sideways.
Yeah, so I was like, Panda, I'm going to just choose Panda. And then they're like, what? You think that's healthy? And I'm like, I had no idea. Like, I thought it was just right. I was eating it so consistently. I'm like, I thought this was good. I had the broccoli and beef or whatever, but it's not. So now I'm just learning what is truly healthy and what can I truly use and eat.
Look, I'll just say this, Danny, I'll let you go, but I'll say this to that. We are big fans of Panda here in my household. Mm-hmm. My kids love it. But man, I just had the noodles and orange chicken on Friday, and I passed out at 8 p.m. There ain't nothing healthy about me feeling that way after eating a basic meal.
Listen, man, there's a difference between his metabolism and ours. Cherish it now, Jabari. No. Cherish it now, man. It fades about 30. Right.
Man, that MSG kicked my ass, man. I was like, what's going
right. on? Right. No, that's funny. That's funny.
So you're in Portland now. Everybody's getting ready. You guys are going to go to Santa Barbara for training camp. You know, Dame used to do this years ago, right? Took guys down to San Diego. It was kind of a bonding thing. Here's the thing. The team hadn't really changed much over the last six years until this past year. And so you've got this new wave of players. You've got a real change in the organization for the first time in 7 years, and you're a part of that. Have you had the opportunity to be around Ant, Nas, Dame, get on the floor with them, get a few shots in, just kind of get a feel for, like, these are my teammates?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's I didn't expect to do it this early, but everybody's so committed to get in to the gym this early. And from my understanding, this is not how it always was. So it just kind of shows there's a different mentality this year, and everybody's on board and everybody's committed to, you know, cutting from their summer plans to get in the gym as a group and bond together. It's important to play together to kind of feel each other out and everything. So I definitely feel like I'm a part of something big, and I could tell that everybody just has a different mentality. Like, it's time to win, I feel like.
Is have you been able to see, is Shaden feeling better? Is he to a point where you've seen him put up shots? Like, just to check in with a fellow rookie, you know, drafted the same class. I'm curious how Shaden has looked, if he's been able to play at all.
Yeah, no, I'm constantly around Shaden, but yeah, I always see him doing PT, and his shoulder might actually come back stronger than what it was before, just with the way he's looking. But yeah, he's pretty far along with his recovery now. I don't know when he's allowed to do physical contact, but it might be approaching pretty soon. But yeah, he's conditioning, doing pretty much everything everyone else is doing, just not with the live stuff yet. But he looks really good. Looks really good.
Okay, I can't let you get out of here without this. Have you undertaken your rookie duties at all yet?
Oh, no, that's a common question, but not yet.
Okay.
The vets have kind of got on me about that a little bit.
And they laid out for what needs to happen?
They didn't. They didn't yet. They've been a little generous in that area. But I did joke back. I was like, nah, man, my vets are too nice. They're never going to make me do any rookie duties. I said that in front of them. They're like, nah.
You're screwed now. You're screwed, man. Oh, man.
Dave ain't going to let you off the hook. I promise.
That's funny.
All right. We'll get you out of here on that, man. We really appreciate you. Hopefully we'll bring you back either the All-Star break or after the season, check back in with you. Want to wish you the best of luck, obviously, training camp and into the season.
Congrats, too, man. Congrats on making the kind of the active roster of the house. Like, you're having a hell of a summer for yourself. That's kick-ass.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Well, hey, man, we appreciate you. Normally I'd say you want to plug anything, but you're not in media and you don't care about us in that way. So that's perfect. So go out, enjoy the new house, enjoy your newfound career and everything you work for, man. We really appreciate you taking the time, and we'll check back in with you later. All right.
Yeah. No. Thank you. Why you say I'm not in media?
Oh, they're saying you're not. You got something to plug? Plug it.
I mean, if anybody wants to search me up, Jabari Walker on Instagram. That's pretty much what I use right now. Same thing on Twitter. Just Jabari Walker.
Hey, you know what? Hold on. Let me just give you a clap. Jabari Walker, newly verified on Twitter.
Hey, there you go. There you go. The blue check mark, man.
It's there. Are
you verified on IG?
I've been verified on IG.
And but
Twitter's
honestly,
the hard one to get.
Yeah, honestly, Instagram's probably the most important one, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
for a lot of reasons. So. Yeah,
yeah, I agree. That's the one I'm on.
All right, man. Well, take care. I'll catch you on some 2K, and we'll check in with you later. All right, brother.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk more about that. Thank you.
Take care, man.